This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform.
You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
Two and a half hours long,
but still retaining a little bit of that magic, because I caught a bit of it, Scott, and the bit that I caught was Chris McCausland, Strictly's first blind contestant, in like a 70s era kind of an outfit. It was a very retro print, but he was just brilliant. So good.
I mean, so good. I mean, I think he's got the public behind him. I think they've shined to him ever since he sort of first made his appearance on the programme. And Strictly's been very transparent about how, they've tried to approach his training, because of course he can't see, but they've said that they've just basically making it up as they go along, trying to find something that works for Chris. And you can clearly see from that first performance, it already has. I think he's got that kind of energy and unpredictability, possibly like Bill Bailey, who won in 2020.
Yeah.
But also, of course, Bill Bailey won the series because he had a playfulness with his performance, but he also was actually able to keep to the steps and make sure that all of the dancing criteria was fulfilled. And Chris got a good score for his first week. I mean, I think in first weeks, of course, everyone's only been learning for literally a fortnight, so scoring can be a little bit all over the place. But his score was solid. I'd say probably the best of the night, maybe up there, Tasha.
I think he's got a lot to work with, though, because his hips were moving, he's got
yeah,
rhythm. Yeah, so if you can learn the steps, he'll be all right. Shall we listen to what he said when he came off stage?
It's absolute nonsense, isn't it? it's like someone's taken all, just sucked all the fun out of dancing and replaced it with terms and conditions. You've got to keep your legs straight, your toes out, your shoulders back, your arms straight. You've got to point your finger out like that for some reason. You've got to... It took me 2 weeks to do it with my mouth shut. I was that cartwheel thing, when she suggested it with the girl, I said, are you mad? We messed her up. So she kicked me in the head one day. If there was ever any doubt that I had more sight than I was letting on, I did not avoid or anticipate it. I stood there and I took her foot right in the face.
So, yeah, Chris McCausland, just a joy, I think. Quite joyous watching him dance, which is nice.
A real joy. And I think that there's this year, I think some people taking part who you don't expect, who I think really shown their sort of fun creative side. I think everyone will always remember a highlight from this night being Paul Merson doing Vindaloo. Don't know why they chose Vindaloo. Of course, he's the former football manager. You're sort of wondering, like, why on earth they make these song choices, but... Heck, he was managing to, at one moment, hit a football off his head mid-performance, which is quite an achievement. Fair play to him. I think also Nick Knowles. I mean, at first I was worried it was going to be more SOS than DIY SOS, but he managed to keep it intact. I think it's obviously clear, as it would be, because it's natural and human, like being on the first week, particularly if you're the first set of performances, you are nervous and you've been learning all week, but it's nothing like going down that staircase on the first night. And I think it takes a few weeks for maybe the nerves to become second and the dancing to become first. But I think Tasha from Love Island, she has had dancing experience. I mean, she's been very open about that, but not necessarily in the same style that Strictly normally does. I mean, she was getting a score from what I recollect, that you normally get midway through the series and it's only on week one.
So, yeah, she's doing all right. There are a lot of names, and this is just what happens when you have a show that goes on for so long. I could have sworn. Yeah, I could have sworn that Nick Knowles has been on this before. I could have sworn that JB Gill from JLS has been on this before. I would have put money on Toya Wilcox being on this. But it's nice. It's their first time, and we get to actually see them, even when maybe in our minds we thought they'd already been on.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, the success of Strictly, and I think the thing that in recent weeks, and you know, there's been a lot of attention on maybe the people at the top of the scoreboard and the high scores and whether there's too much pressure. But I think that might overlook the fact that the way that Strictly has always worked is not so much about the people who are at the top of the table. It's the people who might be towards the bottom to start off with, but learn and get more confidence and pick up their skills. So then learn something more about themselves and maybe kind of take some creative risks. And they don't get to the end of the competition, but they get much further than maybe even they thought they were going to get. And I think that's the joy of Strictly, I think, is actually sort of seeing people learn and actually really noticing and understanding that they're much better than maybe they first thought.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Just before I let you go, I do need to ask you though, because I do want to know who was really, really, really bad? Who was terrible and will never ever give us the joyful arc that we want to see?
Oh, I mean, there were, you know what? I'm going to put you on speaker because I actually had it as notes on my phone. One sec. This is the joy of live radio. Oh, pre-recorded radio. Looking at my list, Pray to say Toya Wilcox, I don't think, did that well. She got a two. But, you know, it's early days. I think she was sort of flapping her sort of head around from side to side too violently, which was quite comedic to watch at one point. I think it was supposed to sort of glide rather than, But, you know, this is the thing. I find in week one particularly, we all become our armchair critics. Yes. And have you seen me dance? Honestly, I cannot comment. I cannot comment myself.
Well, Toy, I'm sure she'll get better. I'm sure she'll do fine. It's first week nerves, probably. Scott Bryan, thank you very much for being
thank
on
you.
With us. And I can't wait until you're on Strictly, quite honestly.
It'll be very late in the calendar, if at all.
Scott Bryan there talking to us all about the first proper live episode of Strictly Come Dancing. Now, coming up, we'll be bringing you a full look at some of the stories making Sunday morning's front pages. Emma Wolf and Ava Santina will be with me for that. And there's been more developments in the Al Fayed story. Now, last night, I spoke to the author and investigative journalist Tom Bauer, who wrote Fayed, the unauthorised biography, in 1998. He told me that many of the allegations which have come to light first appeared in his book over a quarter of a century ago.
This was all known 30 years ago. I have been for 30 years amazed how everyone ignored the evidence all these years.
Was it in your book?
Died.
Did you write about this?
Absolutely. It was all in the book. And it's been repeated. And I must say, the lawyers, I think, as well, it's a bit odd saying, accusing Harrods. I mean, Harrods was Fayed. He ran it. He owned it. The idea there was a separate entity between Harrods and Fayed is ridiculous.
But there were other people around him, people in positions of power that could have held him to account.
There were other people. They weren't in positions of power. They were Fayed's employees, and they did what he demanded. And if they didn't do what he demanded, they were lucky to be just depart. But invariably, he put trumped-up charges to make their departure painful and expensive. I mean, he was a tyrant. He was a lying fantasist tyrant, and a monster is accurate, but everyone who knew the story of Fayed on the inside knew he was a monster in his lifetime.
So,
the trouble is, he was protected.
I'm interested, Tom, when you wrote that book in 1998 and you put these things in the book, how did you cross Fayed to get this book published?
Well, because it was truth, and he threatened to sue and then pulled back because he didn't want to appear in the witness box. And the only way, the reason that NDAs, these non-disclosure agreements, have value is because the courts, the judges, are totally unwilling to strike people like Fayed down and protect people who are telling the truth. It's the courts, the judges, the lawyers who are to blame. They make a fortune by suppressing the truth. And that is part of the problem why Fayed got away with it. And, of course, he got away with it as well because he had a very, very ruthless dangerous policeman called John McNamara, a former Scotland Yard chief superintendent, as his security officer. And McNamara either personally threatened people or got the police, Scotland Yard policeman, to turn a blind eye or to do his bidding. Well, I mean, he did it against me too.
There's going to be, clearly, there needs to be a massive investigation launched, not only into the culture at Harrods, not only into who knew about this and who allowed it to happen, but also, you know, Fulham Football Club now as well. Aside from you know, all of that that is happening now, back when you wrote your book, did you speak to him? What was he like as a person with the level of influence that he had in high society?
Well, I knew Fayed very well because I'd written previously a biography of his great enemy, a man called Tiny Rowland, who actually owned a lot of the Harrods shares and was aiming and wanting to own Harrods. And the story is a bit complicated, but in a nutshell, Fayed gets hold of the shares and bought Harrods using the money of the Sultan of Brunei, which drove Tiny mad. And Fayed loved the book because I described, and Rowland, who was a equally criminal, in ways that Fayed liked. So I met him quite a lot. And then the height of my close relationship, so to speak, with Fayed was that when Diana died, the following day I went on Fayed's helicopter with McNamara, with a pathologist and the head of his legal team to Paris on Fayed's helicopter and interviewed all the people in the Ritz who'd been with Diana and Dodi 24 hours beforehand. And that story itself is obviously fascinating. But it was at that stage, when I was in the Ritz for 12 hours, that I realized that Fayed was not the very generous human being I thought he was, but he actually was a monster. And he was bugging me and threatening me, and in the end was surrounded by these armed guards. And I realized that the man to write about was Fayed himself. And that, of course, was the beginning of the souring of my relationship with Fayed. Now, you ask what sort of man he was. Well, beyond the jester, the life and soul of the party, was a very nasty criminal, a thief, a brazen liar, a man who not only raped women, but also destroyed reputations. He was a man, in a personal level, a man who obviously corrupted politicians, constantly giving out wadges of 500 franc notes or 550 pound notes, whatever, not only to British politicians, but also to the mayor of Paris and others.
What's interesting about all of this, Tom, you know, listening to this, is that, you know, if this was known by high society and it was known by the people who were around him and it was known by the people that he came into contact with and it was known by the people who he worked with, how has this not made its way into the public consciousness? We've seen, you know, The Crown, you know, that famous TV show that, you know, portrayed him as well last year or the year, or, you know, over the last few years. How has this not come out? How did we not know this sooner?
Well, you know, I could give you lots of reasons and lots of examples, not least that the BBC itself refused to do a proper programme about Fayed. I can assure you there are many times when I was asked, will I help make a programme for the BBC, and I worked for the BBC for 26 years in panorama documentaries. I know how to make a film. The BBC refused to touch it, and part of the reason was that they feared libel writs, and he was a very, very ruthless litigant. But also, they fear telling the truth. He frightened people. You know, when I was writing his biography, I was told by someone who actually knew that McNamara was looking for someone to break my fingers so I couldn't type. You know, McNamara tried to entrap me in a crime and had police waiting to arrest me when I did. He thought I'd do something foolish because he set it all up. I mean, this was a man who was a gangster.
Tom Bower on the Al Fayed story there. Thank you for joining us this evening. It's 11:33 on a Saturday evening and it is time for our headlines with Andy Barwell.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
The legal teams representing the women who said they were sexually assaulted by the former Harrods boss, Mohamed Al-Fayed, say that they have received more than 150 new inquiries since the BBC documentary revealed the allegations. The current owners say that they are appalled at the allegations and have urged women to get in touch with them to seek a settlement. The Israeli military say that dozens of its planes have carried out more widespread airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon. Sir Keir Starmer has promised that change is coming on the eve of Labour's first conference since winning the election. The gathering in Liverpool comes amid a difficult few weeks concerning donations for clothes and other items given to the Prime Minister and other senior colleagues. And Donald Trump has said that he won't take part in another televised debate with Kamala Harris before the US presidential election. The vice president has accepted an invitation from CNN to hold a second debate. Well, what a fight it proved to be at Wembley Stadium tonight. The all-British heavyweight boxing clash between the IBF title holder Daniel Dubois and the two-time unified world champion Anthony Joshua. And it all ended in round five.
A right hand from Anthony Joshua causes Daniel Dubois to back up. And another right hand, and another right hand from Joshua. And a huge right uppercut. But during the course of an exchange, a blistering right hand has deposited Anthony Joshua on the canvas. A towel has come in from Ben Davison and this contest is over.
Well, it wasn't the first time that Joshua had been on that canvas. So Daniel Dubois remains the IBF World Heavyweight Champion now with some mega paydays to come.
I've only got a few things to say, man. You know, are you not entertained?
Well, this was the reaction of Dubois' promoter, Frank Warren.
It was a phenomenal fight, and I've always felt it would be a Hagler-Hearns situation, and that's what it was. Two guys give everything. It takes two people to make a fight like that, a great champion and AJ. AJ absolutely contributed, showed his heart right to the end, but it was just a brilliant, brilliant fight, and obviously I'm pleased because my man's won, and I've had faith in him from the beginning. I always felt he would do it, and he's done it.
Well, football news now. Liverpool boss Arne Slot claimed it wasn't easy for his team, but they went top of the Premier League on goal difference after beating Bournemouth 3-0 at Anfield.
I felt that it was a tougher game than the 3-0 scoreline maybe have looked like, because Bournemouth just kept on going. And there might be a reason for this, because I know they were 2-0 down after 87 minutes, a few miles further north, south, I don't know. But they just kept on going, so it was a tough match till the end. But what pleased me most was the way we played with the ball.
Aston Villa are level on points with Liverpool and Manchester City at the top. Villa came from a goal down to win 3-1 at home to Wolves, to the delight of their boss, Unai Emery.
Taking some risk will reduce the risk. And we were imposing, progressively getting the balls, cutting chances. And at the end, the second half, we deserved to win. But of course, tough match. We were suffering the first half like a long time I've never did here, and I am very happy because we won.
Well, 3-1 was also the scoreline in victories for Spurs over Brentford and for Fulham, who defeated Newcastle. Chelsea had a 3-0 victory at West Ham. Leicester against Everton and Southampton versus Ipswich both ended one apiece. The Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag felt that his team should have been more clinical in front of goal. They drew 0-0 at Crystal Palace. In the Scottish Premiership today, St Mirren beat the bottom club Hearts 2-1. It's now 5 defeats in 6 games for Hearts, while Ross County and managerless St Johnstone drew 3-3. The quarterfinals of the Scottish League Cup saw Aberdeen defeat the fourth-tier team Spartans 4-0. And on their return to Ibrox for the first time this season, Rangers beat Dundee 3-0. Women's Super League victories for Brighton and for Manchester United. There was a defeat for England in the second one-day cricket international at Headingley. They were dismissed for 202, leaving Australia the winners by 68 runs. Sunrisers lifted the women's Rachel Hayo Flint trophy for the first time. They beat South East Stars by 27 runs in a rain-hit final in Leicester. And McLaren's Lando Norris will be on pole position for the Singapore Formula One Grand Prix.
You've probably got a list of things your child needs for uni. Pans, cutlery, sheets, duvet, towels, you know. But this is a little reminder that they'll also need a TV licence to be covered to watch all the TV channels, live TV on streaming services and BBC iPlayer. On the downside, it's one more thing on your list. On the upside, you can continue to enjoy your favourite shows together on the family group chat. And they won't be bringing it home to be washed either. To find out more, search TV Licence Uni.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
This is our wee part of the United Kingdom.
Live from here at Old Trafford.
I think it needs a massive overhaul.
Reema Ahmed.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Yes, hello, it's Reema Ahmed in for Stephen Knoll, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Was talking about the boxing, and importantly, I think, Liam Gallagher singing at the boxing. If you've got tickets for Oasis next year, it was maybe a sign of what you can expect then. You'll be getting in touch with your takes on this. Mark has texted us from Stretford in Manchester. He says, I was surprised when you said it was Liam Gallagher. I thought it sounded like Keir Starmer at the Labour Party conference. Topical, Mark. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, keep your messages coming. Let's have a look at tomorrow's front pages, though. Emma Wolfe is an author and political commentator, and Ava Santina is a political correspondent at joe.co.uk. And I'm very pleased to say they both join me now. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Saturday night, big Saturday night, we're here looking at the papers that are coming out tomorrow morning. Just on the Oasis thing, on the Liam Gallagher thing, on the front of the Daily Star, I've just noticed, it's just in one little corner in the top left-hand corner, it says, Oasis brows, cool. And that's all I can see. It's just the front page that I've got. Oasis brows, cool. Do they mean the big bushy brow from the 90s? I'm going to pass this over to you. I'm not sure what they mean by this.
Yeah, I think they're talking about the sort of Gallagher monobrow, are they?
Yeah. Surely not the monobrow, though. The bushy eyebrow's been in for quite a while, but the monobrow?
Well, it's the very bushy eyebrow that almost meets in the middle, which is called a monobrow.
Well, I thought that was a bit weird, and I'm not sure if they are. I'll just stop doing my eyebrows, I guess, and I'll be in vogue, absolutely in vogue. Right, let's have a look at what is going on in the papers then. Emma, what's the first thing that you've seen?
Well, I think the front page of the Mail on Sunday is probably a good place to start, Rimmer. It's Sir Shameless is at it again. This is a photograph. Well, it's a big headline, calling him Sir Shameless. This is, of course, our beloved, glorious leader, Sir Keir Starmer, who's in big trouble. There's a turf war raging in Number 10, and there's a very, very large photograph from last Sunday, just a few hours after the whole wardrobe gate sort of scandal erupted last Sunday, showing the Prime Minister and Sue Gray, his chief of staff, in a box. I think it was a Spurs freebie. They're in a director's box. They're also pictured with a lobbyist who's deeply involved in the football industry during a time when they're trying to set up this football regulator. I think also I can see David Lammy in this box. And this is basically the freebie row that's engulfing Keir Starmer, and they're saying it's deepened last night. Obviously, this has come on the eve of the Labour Party conference in Liverpool. We've just seen Keir Starmer and his deputy, Angela Rayner, arriving there, whether in clothes bought by themselves or paid for by somebody else, we don't know. But, yeah, the conference is going to be massively overshadowed in Liverpool by Freebiegate and also by these new revelations about Angela Rayner's... I think it was a New Year or Christmas getaway to New York, to her multi-millionaire friend Lord Alley's New York penthouse, to which she took Sam Carey, another MP. She failed to declare that. So there's now questions over whether she breached parliamentary rules by failing to declare that a friend stayed in the New York penthouse with her. And that's in the Sunday Times. So that's a couple of the papers for you.
Yeah, there are quite a few on Freebiegate, as it's being called now, on a lot of the front pages tomorrow. Ava, what do you make of this?
The most extraordinary part of this story is almost how pervasive Lord Alley's donations have been with the Labour Party. And the important cog of this story is that Lord Alley was at one point given this extraordinarily prestigious Downing Street pass, and he used that to host an event in the Downing Street back garden, which is a level of access that most people are not privy to. I mean, I'm a member of the Westminster lobby. I would not even be allowed to go into those sort of quarters. You know, I'm allowed to go into number 9. I would not be allowed to go into the Downing Street back garden. It's extremely high clearance. And I think what's extraordinary is the number of donations that this man has made. And the level of, you know, the level of what has been delivered, it's sort of screaming cronyism, and it's screaming, you know, it's giving us the good old Boris Johnson days. But speaking to, you know, I've been speaking to a number of people who work for Labour, Labour activists, and I'm headed to Liverpool tomorrow. There is a real sense of anger amongst them that their first conference in the last 15 years, where they're actually in government, should be this extraordinary celebratory event like what the Liberal Democrats had the week before. And it's mired and it's overshadowed, unfortunately, by this scandal. And people are furious.
Yeah, totally overshadowed. And it's funny, Ava, you've got on the front of the Observer, you've got Starmer saying, oh, suddenly now saying, I'll protect public services from austerity. He's rejecting the doom and gloom sort of vibe of the first 3 months. But it's kind of too late now. As you say, there's so much anger, and there'll be anger amongst delegates and many MPs, not only at the cuts to winter fuel, which they're having to defend. They're having to be in their constituents and talk to everyday people, you know, who are coming up to them and saying, I'm terribly worried about my mum, I'm terribly worried about the pensioner who lives next door, about that. But also the direction of the economic policy of the government. And I can see now that Starmer is trying to kind of inject some optimism. And as you say, they should be celebrating the first time they're in government for 14 years, and instead of which, this is totally overshadowed. What should be a celebration?
Well, and you've got to remember as well that, you know, the number of people who came over to Labour in the shadow of the cronyism that we saw in the last, you know, several administrations, a lot of people who were fed up of the Conservatives said, right, yeah, that's it, I'm going to lend my vote to Labour. This is a little bit feeling like a bit of a kick in the teeth, I think, for those voters.
Yeah, and Tory sleaze became, it just became like a catchphrase. It just became a byword for, you know, the government was Tory sleaze. We had 14 years of it. We saw so many expensive scandals and duck moats, and I can't remember, you know. I mean, Tory sleaze just was a sort of phrase. And now in 11, 12 weeks, we've seen a really, and it isn't just the, you know, the glasses costing £3,000 for Keir Starmer when they're cutting £300 from pensioners. It isn't just that. It's, as you say, the level of the donations by people like Lord Ali. I mean, I was astonished. He's given £50,000 to Angela Rayner's campaign, to her campaign, not to, to her campaign over the past few years, I think the past 4 years. That's in the Sunday Times. £50,000, that's a lot of money, you know. For people who, she wasn't front bench then. She was, I mean, okay, now she's Deputy Prime Minister, but it's really astonishing. And even though that pass, that Downing Street pass, that access pretty much all areas pass has been revoked, he's still at number 10 meetings. And why? Mm. The question is, whatever you think of Labour, what is he getting in return for all this money?
When we were talking about this yesterday with a former Labour advisor, they were of the opinion that, oh, these people aren't getting anything back. You know, they've really wanted to see a Labour Prime Minister for so long, and these are just gifts. But that is the big question, isn't it? Is anything really ever a gift? Can you really just give someone thousands of pounds and expect nothing in return?
Well, the point is that you're meant to
have nothing in return. The Prime Minister must know that he is now a man of influence. That even as the leader of the opposition, you can't just accept that kind of amount of money and personal gifts, domestic, you know, personal friend gifts, without being aware of what that says, of what that does.
I'm just going to come in with some of our listeners. Peter, who's a taxi driver in Cambridge, says, most of my customers reckon this free gear Kia story has been latched onto by the public because the PM no longer holds the moral Highbury ground. Thank you, Peter, for getting in touch with that. And Richard in Berkhamsted is on the line as well. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, all.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. What's your take on all of this? Free Gear Kia, they're calling him.
Well, I personally think that the
both previous Tory administrations, senior members of, and Sir Keir Starmer and other politicians should give those freebies back and spend it on meaningful things which will help poor pensioners and other people, consumers, spend on the high street, etc. I thought Sir Keir Starmer was a man of honour. If Sir Keir Starmer was as much a man of honour as I like to pass Bernard Villa, he'd be a better person. I'm sorry, but this is a very serious subject, but I thought he promised that honour and service would turn to politics. If we had a situation which, since the mother of all parliaments began, that the incoming governments had to honour their pledges and so on, and pass meaningful legislation across the House, which would benefit the general public rather than themselves, this country would have been a better place a long time ago. If only they could have been like Sir Clement Attlee, he's my favourite politician.
Richard in Berkhamsted, thank you for ringing us. We've got another Richard in County Durham on the line. Hello, Richard number two, I'm going to call you, just for this show.
Yeah, hiya.
Hello.
Hi guys.
What's your take on this?
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, so I'm a GP, so I do have a bit of an interest in all what's going on. Can I just say, Ava, I love watching the podcast of you and Ed and the other chap from LBC, but anyway. It's great. You guys are quite witty, and I hope my daughter goes into politics a bit like you do. But anyways, I'm a GP, and I'm a GP, and the thing is that my concern is that what these guys in Labour are demonstrating is that they're for sale, and who on earth is it that's bought them and it has influence? Mm. Now it's quite clear and obvious that Lord Ali has some magical connections, and he's able to be on the top table, even though he's not an elected member of Parliament. But I think, what I said to your researcher was, I think there's a potential massive scandal here, which an investigative journalist, they need to work together and try to blow it open. So I think the two areas that they need to look at, the first one is the Defence Secretary and who's getting contracts. We all know there's a big issue going on in the Middle East. Who on earth is getting deals done, and who's buying influence to keep them sweet? But the second thing is, I think we need to look at Wes Streeting's connections as well. Wes Streeting is a big torpedo heading towards general practice, because he's not a fan of general practice. He's a fan of more private practice, and who on earth is advising him or even giving him donations?
Well, that's a really good point, Richard. It's who is advising these people as well. Richard in Berkhamsted, thank you very much for ringing us. Ava, what do you make on that? That was Richard in County Durham. Too many Richards. So many Richards this evening. Ava, what do you make of the advisor thing? Because one of the front pages, and I've lost it in front of me now, was talking about that, the fact that it's the advisors who are the problem
the
here.
The Express.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a very important point, actually. So, I mean, one thing that is published at regular interims are the sort of more prominent people that the Prime Minister will meet with. So the Prime Minister's diary is essentially public knowledge, and that will be published at regular intervals. So say, for example, if Boris Johnson had held a meeting with Rupert Murdoch, who is a man, I live in central London, so it's very loud here. if he held a meeting with Rupert Murdoch, that would be on the a register of interest, a register of important meetings. But that's because obviously he's one of the proprietors of, one of the largest news organisations in the country. Someone like Lord Ali would not be recorded on these registers, times when they're meeting, times where he might have given informal advice. And perhaps we need to be more, the scrutiny needs to be more heavy. We need to know if, say, the health secretary, Wes Streeting, is meeting with a private healthcare provider. Or we need to know if, Angela Rayner, in her role with Housing and Communities, is meeting with a large developer. Perhaps this should all be public knowledge, because at the moment it does seem that, now it's when it's behind closed doors, people perhaps can't be trusted.
It's a really good point.
It brings up so many different things as well, because just tangentially to this, but actually linked, is the whole other debate that's been raging for years, which is whether MPs should even be able to have other jobs outside of being an MP.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it links to the Express, the Sunday Express headline, Ditch Toxic Aid
and the Chaos.
The
one,
yeah. What they say, the embattled Prime Minister is being urged to ditch his Chief of Staff, Sue Gray, in a sort of desperate attempt to reassert authority, because there's been so much swirling around, not just the fact that she's paid, I think, £3,000 more than the Prime Minister, she's on £170,000. You know, who is the paymaster here? Who is advising who? She's meant to be his Chief of Staff and his sort of uber special advisor. But who is advising who? Who's in control? Is she gunning for this kind of... People are saying she's the most powerful woman in the country. She's gunning to be the Deputy Prime Minister. And it's a lot of criticism about her high-handed manner, that her grip on power has definitely kind of prompted a lot of anger within Number 10 and is probably, you know, fueling these leaks, because we're getting a lot of leaks out of Number 10, and that is not a good look for an administration, as I say, that's only, what, 11, 12 weeks old.
Well, the Sue Gray question will certainly be one that comes up at Labour conference over the course of the next few days, I am sure. But what else is going on in the papers? I think we've well and truly gone through that whole story. Ava, was there anything else that caught your attention?
I have to say, I'm mainly focused on that. One moment, let me have a quick look. Oh, yes.
Mohammed Fayed on the front of the Sunday Times is an interesting one.
Yeah, Sunday People as well. Al Fayed charity cash storm. That's on the front of there. Fayed is really the other big news story of the day. And shockingly or unshockingly, depends what your experience is, not the only high profile man who is, you know, being alleged to have committed some quite heinous crimes. We know that P. Diddy as well, also in the news at the moment. It's quite exhausting, isn't it? These stories coming through again and again and again, exactly like this.
Well, it's not even just that. I think that, you know, it's the same pattern of behaviour by various different police forces every single time a story like this comes out. I mean, the story on the front of the Sunday Times is that the CPS have revealed that a second police file was rejected. So this is a pattern of behaviour. If you look at the Jimmy Savile case, that happened recurrently. Lessons don't seem to be learned after each individual investigation. I think it's very disheartening for any other victims who might be out there suffering something similar.
Yeah, it's also terrifying in the wake of, well, the Hugh Edwards conviction and, you know, so many the lawyers for this. I mean, this Mohammed Fayed story is absolutely astonishing. This was a few days after the BBC documentary. Lawyers have been contacted by over 150 alleged at this point, survivors and witnesses since that documentary was aired. And they're suggesting that he was actually worse, that Fayed was worse than Jimmy Savile, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein put together. This combination, I think, that we see amongst very, very powerful men in positions of extreme power, kind of combination of power, influence, money, the kind of conspiracy of silence, people coming forward and saying, we knew about it, but we couldn't say anything. You know, it was known how Fayed was operating. And you have to remember, this is probably before your time, Rima, but in the 1980s and 90s, before online shopping, Harrods was an absolute beacon. It was an icon of kind of Britishness. It really was. It was where you went. Every tourist went to Harrods. Harrods and Fayed, the whole kind of dynasty was absolutely up there. And to recall or to think that Fayed was operating in this way, allegedly raping, attacking, assaulting women as young as 15, it really is shocking. And it's very, very important that this documentary comes out. I was speaking to a TV presenter very early this morning, who was just saying, you know, the women that need to come forward and just speak out about this stuff that they've been living with for so long, and the kind of relief that they will feel if they can just open up about it.
Well, the lawyers
really
are saying
it's
had
so scary that it goes on and on.
They've
isn't
had
it?
100 more inquiries over the last 24 hours or so.
150.
This story is not going anywhere. I think the big thing as well, and we've talked about a lot about this story over the last couple of nights, is that Mohammed Al-Fayed might be dead and gone, but there will be other people that need to be held accountable. People at Harrods who knew what was going on and who allowed this to happen and then kept stum all of these years until it's all come out, right, Ava?
No, I mean absolutely. And this is the same with pretty much any institution across the land. You know,
where there is, you know, someone who, you know, potentially has perpetrated a crime, there will be other people who've potentially covered it up. And we see that institutionally across many organisations. So it's, you know, it's not just one bad person. It tends to be a whole group.
Mm, yeah, and that barrister as well from yesterday.
Making payouts.
Sorry,
you know,
go on, Emma.
I was just going to add, you know, I don't want trial by media, and we can't, you know, it's not fair to assume anything, but Harrods have been making huge payouts to people over the past few years. So, you know, there is something there, and they've issued a statement saying they are a very, very different organisation now, a very different company now, and all of that. But it is, if this is all true, it is really, really terrifying to think that someone that powerful could be operating almost in plain sight with this web of silence, conspiracy of silence around him, just because of the power and the money and the influence, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Emma Wolf, Eva Santina, thank you for joining me this evening, looking through the papers that you will be waking up to tomorrow. And that's about it from us as we head into midnight. After the news, sports, strangest crimes, confessions of a match fixer. Lisa McCormick will be keeping you company from 1 o'clock. Please do hang out with her. And The Nolan Show is back tomorrow night from 10 o'clock with Johnny Iannson. Thanks for hanging out with me the last two nights. News is next.
BBC News at midnight. This is Anna Cunningham. Anthony Joshua has been knocked out in the fifth round of his world heavyweight title fight against Daniel Dubois at Wembley Stadium. Joshua had hoped to become the IBF belt holder for a third time, but Dubois dominated the fight after knocking him down in round one. Here's the moment it was all over.
And another right hand! And another right hand from Joshua! And a huge right uppercut! But during the course of an exchange, a blistering right hand has deposited Anthony Joshua on the canvas. A towel has come in from Ben Davison, and this contest is over.
Dozens of Israeli warplanes have been carrying out widespread attacks on Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon as the two sides continue to exchange fire across the border. Earlier, Lebanon's health ministry said 37 people had died in an Israeli airstrike on a block of flats in Beirut yesterday. From the city, our senior international correspondent, Ola Guerin, gave this update.
Tonight, Israel has been stepping up its bombardment of southern Lebanon. Now, it says it is doing that in response to intelligence it had that Hezbollah was planning to carry out a series of attacks on Israel. It says dozens of warplanes are involved, some of the heaviest bombardment that we have seen in this year-long conflict.
Lawyers representing women who say they were sexually assaulted by the former Harrods owner Mohammed Al-Fayed say they've received more than 150 new inquiries since a BBC documentary revealed allegations against him. Mr. Al-Fayed owned the store for 25 years. He died in 2023. The current owners say they're appalled and have urged women to get in touch with them to seek a settlement. Donald Trump has said he will not take part in another televised debate with Kamala Harris before the presidential election. The vice president has accepted an invitation from CNN to hold a second debate. Brian Anderson is a political journalist in North Carolina, where Mr. Trump is currently campaigning.
It's worth noting, Trump says it's too late to debate, but if you remember back in 2016 and 2020, those debates were actually scheduled for